Good to be with everyone in this moment. We really have been together for a long time in this lifetime, but quite obviously beyond that. These gatherings are kind of a symbol of something. Symbols are interesting because on the surface they can be misunderstood or not understood at all. Human consciousness is caught in a quite materialistic and literal pattern, or so it seems. Really, what's perceived and seen as supposedly literally there rarely actually is, anyway. There are notorious studies of so-called eyewitness accounts that are profoundly inaccurate. But this is a symbol nonetheless. There are many mysterious symbols in the earth. A few famous ones, including the Sphinx, which has come to mean mysterious because its purpose seems so far beyond comprehension. And yet, there it is. Next to it, of course, the Great Pyramid at Giza. It's spelled Giza, but it isn't pronounced that way. Again, mystery or maybe nothing much. And there's been, of course, much speculation about that, as there has been, you could argue about us. Symbols are portals of understanding. And new understanding is what is seeking to penetrate human consciousness at the moment. There is evidently a great disruption in the ice flows of human civilization, great disruptions at many levels, ecologically, technologically, geopolitically, economically, kind of all at once. And this onslaught of instability, of which I'm so certain we haven't seen anything yet, evokes fear. But hidden in the disruption is opportunity. Rarely has this been really appreciated, and rarely have there been people in position to perceive this or do anything about it. And yet, however, we've come to it, and we could probably acknowledge, not through any particular fault of our own, just by our willingness to move. Here we are. Disruption at an earthly sense is really a small piece of the picture. There are great shifts occurring at other levels that are making the pattern that's persisted on the planet unsustainable for much longer. In a way, this is reflected in the so-called climate change problem, but it goes much beyond that. We know that whenever there are factors that arise in us that are disruptive, we know enough to take them as opportunities for growth. This itself takes some doing and some learning. Initially, one doesn't exactly welcome the disruption. It's a point of shame or a point of annoyance or a point of resistance, whatever. As one moves further, though, one learns to embrace these things, to recognize that what's arising is arising precisely because we're in position to do something about it now, or maybe we weren't before. And one could give oneself a hard time about this. This is arising now after all this? Well, we can't and shouldn't really judge what it takes to have adequate substance to bring light into patterns that have probably been building and present and received by us, but passed down through generations. Legacy patterns we've all received and took on willingly in order to transform. I'm sure we each have some direct understanding and experience of that. The same is true collectively. The illusion of stability, which is being rapidly dismantled, one that a stability that has persisted for supposedly 80 years, plus or minus, lulls human beings into a sense of complacency. What has been is most likely to keep going. In 1919, famous economist named Keynes wrote something that I thought was very illustrative. He was quite irritated by the way the post-war, post-World War I world was treating Germany. He thought it was a disaster and it was going to create absolute hell, which he was obviously right about. He wasn't popular at the time, and Keynes has a way of being very blunt. This is one of the things he wrote at the time, quote, "The power to become habituated to his surroundings is a marked characteristic of mankind." Very few of us realize with conviction the intensely unusual, unstable, complicated, unreliable, temporary nature of the economic organization by which Western Europe has lived for the past half century. We assume some of the most peculiar and temporary of our late advantages as natural, permanent, and to be depended upon as we lay our plans, and we lay our plans accordingly. On this sandy and false foundation, we scheme for social improvement and dress our political platforms, pursue our animosities and particular ambitions, and feel ourselves with enough margin in hand to foster, not assuage, civil conflict in the European family. He was writing in a previous era and looking back at the prior 50 years. It was still early enough that England and the US were, and America were under the illusion that little would change, but that would soon pass. The shifts that are occurring make for a vulnerable moment. When larger patterns are disrupting all around, there are inevitable opportunistic efforts by people to control the energy that's freed up, and one sees this moving around. There's some famous and slightly distasteful sayings by investors, something about you make money when there's blood in the streets. This is a well-known phenomenon and perspective. The dissolution of the collective human ego and the control it has exerted is inducing a variety of responses. A quest for super intelligent machines to give us all the answers. Regression to authoritarianism. Or more primitive forms of dominance. The great red dragon is thrashing around. The battle, as one could see from a certain perspective, is really only from the perspective of the dragon. There really is no contest, which doesn't stop the dragon from thrashing around and making a big mess. At the same time, and our experience is evidence of this, light has been penetrating the subconscious of mankind in a very direct way for quite a few decades. More diffuse, perhaps over the past few thousand years, but much more specific over the last 80 or 90. And this is compelling the patterns that are present that have been exiled to the recesses of the mass subconscious to emerge. What's rising up is evidence of the fact that things are working. Again, this is always true personally, but it's true collectively too. This rising up is bringing the unsavory factors into the light, but it's also inducing awakening in some, anyway, of the cells in the body of mankind. And there are many people moved by this vast, coordinated process. One of the things that occurs as people discover something of all this is the sense that it's necessary to organize what's going on. People become aware of it and they think, oh, we got to bring everybody together. While there may well be value in coming together, this often misses the already existing creative process that's brought everything to this moment. Appreciate that and more to participate in it and to discover what that actually means is its own unique job. This implies giving up some things and assuming a certain kind of responsibility that when one is on a quest, one holds on to. Giving up seeking, for one thing. beginning to act in a manner that is resonant with what is actually already moving. It's a relatively simple sounding thing to say, what I'm saying here. It's surprisingly few people, in a way, choose to take responsibility for it and see the implications of the responsibility. For all the seeking and wonderful understanding, I find it relatively rare still to meet people with an experience of knowing they are actively participating as a part of the operational whole, as opposed to seeking to understand it or enlighten others about it or prove it exists. It's a very big and very concerted effort now, and significant large amounts of money going into proving that subtle energy has an impact on everything. And scientists at all kinds of senior institutions who have been more or less undercover are getting backed now by wealthy and awake people to validate the fact that healing can occur by means, for instance, other than physical manipulation of the body, etc. All this is great, and I don't mean to disparage it. However, the idea that human consciousness will buy into the existence of a larger order of control because the mind is convinced that it exists is the fool's errand. Certain people who are already on their way to awakening may find it useful. But of itself, it's not going to do anything. The mechanism of change is not that. This is the creative understanding that we've been given the gift of of having. And some understanding of what kind of leadership actually makes a difference in this era, in this collective disruptive era. There are a few things that occurred to me that kind of characterize this leadership, which I thought I'd articulate. One is the recognition, the ability to recognize the opportunity that's arising. Quite different from the world is ending. And quite different from celebrating that the world is ending as if, finally the things I thought weren't right are going to get to go away. There's a recognition of the creative opening and healing that could begin to occur, and the framing of this in healthy ways. This is not to diminish the inevitable suffering that will arise as well, and the intensified suffering. It's, of course, not as if there hasn't been plenty of suffering all along. There's a developing opportunity, and as some leaders have come to put it, never waste a crisis. Take advantage. Another dimension here is As one recognizes one's participating through ideally balanced expression of the tone of life, the direction of the larger flow. It is going to seek portals that it can use. We could say, I am seeking portals that I can use to allow the creative change to occur. And this is happening in a vast scale and beyond what one's mind can encompass, but we can get a glimpse of various levels of creative fields that are necessary for healing. This certainly l leads us to be in position to have an openness and perception about people where others might judge, for instance. This again is not to condone behavior that's destructive. We welcome the underlying openness. That doesn't mean we have to welcome the destructive behavior that comes with it. Again, that's true personally, but it's also true collectively. Anyway, we can see the great coordinated movement unfolding and the precision with which this is the case. Ultimately, we begin to be the symbol. Perhaps initially mysterious, that is acting in the consciousness of mankind, not a symbol in stone, but of living, breathing flesh. What is present in the world is obviously a substitute for what could be. There's simply not been the capacity to translate what is present into form. Too much conditioning, too much density, etc. Well, this is beginning to be disrupted. So the changes in the earth of our own physical forms will be one of the places where the shifts are going to occur. Maybe initially. We are participants, but we're also, as we do this, active creative agents. A portal through which the action can flow. Ultimately, this also means doing the work inside ourselves. I was interested as I was preparing to speak today of all the different parts of me that had ideas about what doing this should look like, meant, sound like, etc. All kinds of dimensions of expression that I picked up over the last 45 years, which is what it's been for me, that were scaffolding, perhaps, but not the truth. It does take some discernment to know the difference between well-meant but frozen in the past perception and the flow now. Which is always lighter. Then at least the memory-based parts of ourselves would have us deliver. Learning to function in this new state has to be the role of someone, otherwise, presumably, there'd be no new state. So that's part of the invitation, it seems to me, that there is a state to participate in. It's nothing like organizing things according to patterns of belief that have served, no doubt, well as carriers of energy, but are in fact obsolete. Some people, of course, are quite attached to their various roots through which awakenings occurred, but many are not. Many are more fluid, actually. To be the visible symbol in the midst of one's own world, that's the game. Perhaps inscrutable to some, a sphinx, perhaps just a friendly hand. In some cases, more than that for people. There is a great transition underway. And it's quite obvious that that transition needs leadership. It does involve recognizing the opportunity, but it takes more than that. And I think we are truly on an unprecedented ground, as we have said for many years, but it's really obviously the case. We have not been here before. So, well, we have maps from the past, maps and remarkable, prescient transmissions of cosmic understanding brought right to our doorstep, which is its own amazing thing. We nevertheless still have to do it ourselves. All that's great. It really doesn't mean much, actually. So I've been thinking a bit about how to talk about these transitions, the thresholds that I think we're now passing through, and what to provide for them. And I'll just say, maybe for now, a little bit about that. The most important threshold, I think, to overcome, and the first, is the threshold of reaction. we're being bombarded and conditioned, or attempts at being conditioned by all kinds of divisive factors. Everyone is, through our phones and our whatever. And it's very easy to take the bait. And there's lots of bait being offered. And the bait has a monetary motivation. You take the bait and someone makes money. Well, it's all very, I was going to say, organized, intentional, perhaps. But the threshold to overcome is reaction. What's happening is terrible, is it? So, this isn't to be heartless, but compassionate. And compassionate towards one's own reactions. I mean, this isn't some sort of largesse one offers to others, although it may end up appearing to be that. It's compassion for one's own anxiety, or whatever it is that shows up. And the healing there. So I think there's a big leadership job required here, not one that involves organizing tens of thousands of people in single under a single tent, or training up the most enlightened leaders one can find so they can infiltrate the world, which is a very specific goal of a group of people I have some awareness of, and many others like that. But to step back into an awareness of what it would mean to be transparently present collectively. One can see that there's some gathering to do to allow that to be the case. But the potential is there, and understanding is here to let more laser-like focus come. It takes some strength to persist through to victory. And awareness of larger inevitability and pressure patterns from above and from below that are moving. We are a not inscrutable, but scrutable symbol, an understandable and living presence of this understanding. And as we keep our hearts open in this way, something powerful will continue to move and bring about what is meant to happen. Well, that's what I'd say, for at least this part. Happy to talk together for a bit. We have a few minutes.
I just have to say thank you, Bill, for this glorious opening and an invitation to let the new heaven arrive on earth through me. And then together we all acknowledge this opportunity and this responsibility. And I think you have just so beautifully expounded upon this and made it very basic and simple. And glory be to God in the highest, because I am present and I recognize in everything I do that this is my job and I love the Lord thy God first. And in so doing, it extends that into other people's worlds. And I have seen this work. The response that comes back, they may not know why, but there's some response that there's a purity to offer when one takes responsibility for one's reactions, that the reaction is not going to send you blasting off or judging or anything like that. So this is a beautiful time together, and I just really thank you because we've all come to share this with you. Thank you, Bill.
Thank
Thank you so much, Bill, for what you have offered and continue to offer. I have spent the last possibly week moving with you in other ways and singing your praises. Because 2 decades ago or longer, finding myself in this container, there was a lot of reaction on my part. I didn't like you being so mentally accurate. I maybe was embarrassed that I haven't come to that yet, but nonetheless, I watched you, and I watched you go to mush with all your earthly capacities, putting you at the top of your game. And yet, the Lord God and you chose to go to mush. And this has changed me. And I want to thank you for that, because we are so capable of going right into the fire at the highest degree possible and saying, as Shirley said, Lord, take me and move me in the ways that I was meant to come into this earth to change. I know you've done it. I know we've all done it in some ways, but I am with you in this. Thank you so much for what you offer.
Thank you, Laurel.
Bill, I loved this consideration, and you mentioned something about the evidence of the energy moving through the portal oneself, of lightness, of joy, of assurance. And it's funny because I tend to speak in those terms sometimes to people when there is struggle, and I can't overtly say, well, joy is the way, but actually it is. The internal GPS system operates for that which will gravitate to what's working. And that's joyful. That there's a sense of things that are fit and they're working out. And it's from this place of this light that our power is, the laser focus that you describe. And I think the aspect of receiving whatever comes our way, we don't have to bring things up out of the past or seek to clarify something. It all comes to us in these patterns that, as we are standing in this environment, this presence of light of who we are, everything has a chance to settle down and find its place because it cannot exist in the presence of the light. Darkness just doesn't exist. It can't. It finds its own level. And I think this is the power and direction of our leadership now, as you said, not reacting to that which comes to us, but actually welcoming whatever it is. And we welcome it when we're not judging it. So I thank you for your understanding. You're living in this. And I know that all of us understand this. And collectively, there is the power to continue to let this process work with great intensity.
Thank you.
I like that GPS, Joyce, because we know that in ourselves, at least I think I do. I wanted to just thank you for this mention of the scaffolding, Bill. My heart is pounding. I think, as you said, we have so much behind us that it creeps forward. And I look at scaffolding as holding something up that's being built. And when that's built, the scaffolding can then be dismantled. And it's not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's looking at things in a brand new light and appreciating everything that's gone on in the past. I give deep thanks to my family who brought me into this world, my mother who birthed me uncomfortably, and all of those things that we have. But I'm so excited about the new building or the new us that, like I say, my heart is just racing. It's so exciting. And to also be really kind to ourselves in all of this, because and each other, because if we don't, then there's no hope, as you said. But we love each other and forgive each other, and we have met before and maybe again. But anyway, so exciting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. To the degree we have been kind and understanding and welcomed fully our own process of clarification, admitting readily that there are things to be clarified yet still, to that degree, we can offer leadership into the world. And we can assist others who are in the midst of a struggle of a clarification. The matter of clarification is a gift to us, not a trial, not a, you bad girl, look how bad you are. That's childish nonsense. That's sandbox play. We are adults. We are spiritual adults and spiritual leaders. And we begin with kindness to ourselves, and that radiates everywhere. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a world that uses children as a war tool. I would love all of that to go. And the way I do that is to offer the opposite to everyone. Not a select few, not this one or that one, not the good leaders or the bad leaders, but to everyone. It's called balance in our world. How blessed we are to be with you in this, Bill. Leadership is imperative in these days. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Bill. I was reading your notes from the last time you spoke, and there was the word vulnerable. And today again, it was mentioned. And what a portal to the pure heart is vulnerability. this openness to what is creatively flowing now is the point of vulnerability. We have to be open, and vulnerable is open. Not in the victim state, but in the present moment state. I love what you've brought. You mentioned giving up seeking, proving, all proselytizing, and trying to heal, even trying to heal. But the vulnerability into the creative flow now allows us to know exactly what we're supposed to bring. And you said, take up what's already moving. Isn't it wonderful? I'm right with you in that. And thank you very much for bringing these words and the truth of them through your own presence.
Thank you.
Living on the edge, Bill, has always been the most fun. And living on the edge through this consideration is the portal. When you're moving into the next place, you're looking through this veilish unknown in the visible, but in the invisible, it's very well known and very well supported in the love cycle that we're here to continue on in. And I was, for months now, I've been, for years actually, in this town, I've been looking after a lot of things for the town. And over the next last several months, been working in the reactionary world, because literally that is the most known thing on this planet, I think, is how to react. And I just see how easy it is to move from reaction to creation as you lift up the sea and move it to the right in front of reaction, and it becomes creation. And a simple process to be able to move something that's so, this leads me to my next thought too, is, but it's so emotional. To be reactionary, we have to be emotional. And if we could just move from the emotions and understand that my process, anyway, is in feeling, I think it's responsible to be able to feel, but not to be emotional and not to react. Because I think reaction and emotion are married. And if we move into feeling, that is well supported by love. And we can do anything through that portal, if you will, of feeling. It's much larger, much more encompassing, much more at home, where the world can rest there. And we don't stay in our so-called feelings. We keep moving because love is so fluid and all-encompassing. And I think that is the next place for the way we see things in this portal, is taking, instead of always reaching to heaven, trying to bring heaven to earth, which has been, seems like the job is what it has seemed to be. I really think, in standing in this place of fluid movement of love, is that we are moving consistently the earth to the heavenly experience. Because goodness gracious, we have millennia to know heaven. And the way that we know our earth experience, we are supposed to be here grounded and fluid at the same time. That is being in and out of this portal, I think is the most freeing way to be what we're here to do, is to lift every essence to in our expression through the heavenly experience. And I don't know how we would know heaven unless we are lifting it always to be in that love experience. So I really love always when we can consider things together, and I always love to watch how we are all sort of in the same space together. And I'm finding that wherever we go, we're always meeting people that are moving into this place all together. So we do find each other, we know each other, and grateful for one another in what we're here to do. So thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Julie, thank you so much. This is what I'm experiencing is, especially with younger people, is that there is a lot of emotion. There is a lot of grief, especially the people 30 to 50 who have learned the rules and have been working away, and now they're hit the wall and they don't know what to do, and they're coming up with ideas like, oh, we got to all get together. But when they have taken advantage of the older people who have hit walls many times and can sit with them in grief, in the grief, this isn't it. This isn't going to work. And they are able to be with themselves for a moment. That nest, I keep calling them nests, a thousand nests. And yes, it takes some of the feathers out of ourselves to make that nest, but the people, the individuals that come to us, and especially this next generation coming up into the 60s, the difference between feelings and emotion. Thank you.
Thank you. I was thinking that the factors that we are coming to be aware of in ourselves are on very precise cyclical timings that we can't possibly control, but can perceive. And there are all kinds of call them legacy impositions that have accumulated in consciousness over a long period of time. But they have to come to clarity. And some of them, don't just go readily. So we have to do that in ourselves. I mean, that somebody has to do it. It's not going to just happen. I think that's the sort of recognition. I mean, it'll happen subconsciously, but if there's anything's going to happen consciously, somebody has to do that. So I think that, to me, that there's a whole sort of vast territory here to contemplate. Anyway, pleasure to be with everybody and to let the seeds that have been planted for so many years actually continue to get emphasized and focused in to be the living symbol that is there to be perceived. It's present enough. That's true. It is present enough. Over to you, Tom, and Sanford, actually, probably, right?
Its own.